If someone came to you to argue the love of God for us, are you prepared to defend his love for us? What is your answer going to be if this person says, prove it? Because what he sees is that God has destroyed the world in the flood because he hated what people were, hated the evil that they've done. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the many vile and evil things they've done. And he's going to destroy the world again because there's so much evil in it. Knowing that God does love me, and I am one of the people that he has called to learn the real truth and to be examples and lights of the world, I would say, well, first off, Mr. Doubting Thomas, you wouldn't be here if God didn't love us. He would have wiped the slate clean after Adam and Eve first sinned. As in Genesis 1:31 points out, well, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. Then God saw that everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Why would he not have love for us if he created us in their image and saw it was very good? In the case of both the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah, he didn't destroy all of the people of the world. He saved because he loves people. It's his family. He wants to grow his family. He just hates the evil that people do. As far as the future goes, he's not the one doing the destroying. In fact, he's going to stop it before the people kill themselves off totally. Many times throughout history, God has tried to save his people, but they continue to rebel, and instead of calling on his name, they call on his wrath. If you still doubt, take a look at 1 John 4, and we'll read 9 through 10. We can all turn there. First John 4, verses 9 and 10. In this is the love of God, was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And verse 10. In this is love, that not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins, a payment, a great sacrifice that he has made for us, that we may live. Don't be confused. God doesn't love us because Jesus died for us. Jesus died for us because God does love us. Proclaiming God's love for us is just one way we can show our love for him and his way of life. So, if you have the opportunity and the timing is right, proclaim his truth to the doubting Thomases of the world. If we're embarrassed or afraid of persecution or what someone will say, then we don't have the love for God that he has for us. Let's turn over to 1 John 4, verses 15 and 16. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. What a great and wonderful privilege this is. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. There's nothing in this world, there's nothing that this world has to offer that compares to this. So our focus should be not on the world or what we can get from it, but the love of God and what we can repay him with. And that's ourselves, being dedicated to him and his way of life. This is why we really have to be on our toes. We have to be on our guard against the evil of this world. It can come in just as quick as you can blink an eye. Think about it. If God abides in us, every time we sin, we subject him to vile dirtiness. If we don't repent, he and his love will eventually be gone. And so will we. With this great privilege that has bestowed on us, comes a great responsibility. It's not a free ride. So everything we do, every thought and every action, every service that we do, must be out of love. We must be willing to serve, doing what we can to help, being good examples. And that includes everything we do, everywhere we go. Remember, God sees not only all that we do, but he also sees our hearts. What our true intentions are, what our motives are. He sees it. You don't have to turn there, but John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Simple as that. This is what he's looking for. This is what pleases him. We must be happy also going through trials or just our everyday lives in this world. We must be always happy because what we have here is soon going to be gone, and the ultimate gift, the ultimate reward is waiting for us. We must be happy where God has placed us in this church. We must be humble. We must serve the church and not have a desire to be served. That will only get us through the outdoor. We are to continually grow in his truth and wisdom so that our love also grows in us. This means that love should grow for each other, not dwindle away. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I loved you." Is it love to slander a brother? No. Is it love to have control over a brother for our own desire? Hey, honey, would you come up here and turn the page for me? No. I'll catch that later. Is it love to cause grief to a brother? No. Is it love to fix a computer after he breaks it? Yes. Just as it's love to fix his Jeep after he breaks it. Let's turn over to 1 John 1 John 3 and verse 17. "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" It doesn't matter what it is. If someone needs help, we help them. Sometimes it's out of our control. Sometimes it's beyond our means. But we should try. We always should try. Let's look at verse 15. "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." So we have to be careful what our thoughts are, what we say, any slanderous statements that we make or judgments towards each other could be looked at as hatred by God. And down the chute we go. So our first thoughts every day from the time we get up till the time we go to sleep is the love that God has for us. And it'll grow. Eventually we'll be able to push these first thoughts of negativity out of our minds and replace it with love. Verse 16, this is the attitude that we should have. It's 1 John 3 and verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for brethren. We may not have to literally lay down our lives at this point, but we may have to sacrifice some time that we had set aside for kicking back or relaxing, going to Happy's Fun Park, whatever. It'll be much more rewarding to help a brother in need than wasting a day on meaningless desires. We should really, really be trying to tighten up the ropes, so to speak. Really trying to become closer to God and to each other. Like I said, some things may be beyond what we can do to help, but we always have to try. We have to be there for one another. And prayer is a good place to start. We have to constantly pray for each other. This, things in this world are just awful, and it's coming down fast. There's nothing that is desirable about where this world is going. So we do have to all stand together, strength in numbers. The love of this world is disappearing quickly. The violence and hatred towards God. Look at government. Well, we shouldn't really talk about that, but there is really everything that pertains to God is being taken out. With all of this happening, we need to keep God's love in us by showing love for Him, the desire to serve, to help the church grow, to love Him and love each other. And for the last scripture, we'll go over Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So I ask, what are you doing for the love of God?